Hey there, everybody. Nate Dickinson with you here on KATE 1450. It's getting closer and closer to what could be a fall sports season for prep sports, and as we try and get some insight as to what that might look like in this new time, we have on the phone with us the Athletic and Activities Director at Albert Lea High School, Paul Durbon, joining us here on KATE. Now, Paul, we talked a little bit. We were supposed to talk yesterday about what was going on, but then you let me know that you were going to be getting informed by the MSHSL about a little bit more as to what things are going to look like and how things are going to go down going forward with the high school league. What did you learn yesterday from them about what exactly is going to happen in the fall? And again, of course, as always, thanks for taking some time to come on.
Yeah, well, first off, and as always, thanks for having me. It's always good to get on the air with you. And you know, from the high school league yesterday, we didn't learn a whole lot. They just gave us a little bit more confidence in the timeline, the projected timeline of when we'll probably hear some more information. And a lot of it's been out on social media and in other media outlets. And so we're looking at waiting for the directives from our governor. And I believe that July 27th, they're going to make decisions about what our school year is going to look like. And the high school league now is planning on having a board meeting August 4th. So we're really going to have a short window from that date of their board meeting until the tentative start date of our fall season. And everything's tentative in this world of COVID right now. But August 17th is the slated start date for our fall season. And in the meantime, and people are dreaming up every scenario you can think of for how we might return to sports, the high school league is going to establish a committee, a task force of board members and their executive committee members to try and come up with different plans of how we might return. So, you know, a few important dates along that timeline. You know, we've been following Department of Health guidance, and we can talk about that a little bit more with all of our summer programs. But July 8th and July 15th for outdoor and indoor activities, respectively, the Department of Health has allowed us to start working in locally scrimmaging programs, and we've been given the guidance to our school programs to take that and phase into that. And so most of our programs aren't quite there where we're scrimmaging or competing internally. The other target date will be July 22nd and 29th for outdoor and indoor activities, where teams can start to compete against other programs. And at this point, we don't have any teams that have started competing with other schools or programs. We're going to follow the Department of Health guidelines or those guidelines and see where it goes. And we might have some more information from the state, from the Department of Health on the 27th that might change those dates that they already provided. So, again, this world of COVID, there's so much unknown, and we're learning just be patient and take the information in stride and make adjustments and go from there.
You mentioned that August 17th date. How is that, if at all, different from what would have been originally scheduled if none of this had never happened?
Well, that is the original scheduled start date for fall practices. And the one concern that I've heard come up, and it doesn't impact Albert Lea, is what about football programs that have a zero-week schedule where they start on the 10th? Or, you know, if we start captains practices, those sort of things. And the guidance at this point is until we have directives from the state about school reopening, we're going to wait to make decisions on those. But for now, we're assuming we're on as scheduled, and those schools are going to plan for their start dates, you know, August 10th. And so if you think about an August 4th announcement from the state high school league, you got a less than a week window before you're supposed to start your practices. And so a lot of schools are going to be in a tough place, and as we all are, trying to make decisions in a short time period. And all those decisions are always going to be based around student safety and well-being, and that can be challenging at times. So,
as you guys get started with workouts in different sports, how have coaches and players received these new protocols and standards to try and keep everybody safe?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first and foremost, I've been extremely impressed with our coaches, our high school staff. You know, if there was a summer to shut things down and just take the summer off, this would be it. And I would support any coach that made that decision. You know, this is a pretty trying time. A lot of people have to consider their family health and needs as well. And but as a school, You know, our stance was if there's kids that are looking for an opportunity, and we're an activities department, and traditionally we provide opportunities in the summer, if there's safe ways to do it, you know, my view on that is it's our responsibility to try and provide it. So we met as coaches this summer. We had a few Zoom meetings trying to navigate all the different information. And as this was rolling out at the beginning of the summer, end of the spring season, into the summer, there were so many unknowns. A lot of different directives from the Department of Health, the High School League, CDC. We kind of navigated that, and we've had, I think it's 16 of our 22 varsity programs offering workouts this summer. And each program's had to create a Department of Health preparedness plan, meet with me and discuss how they're going to roll that out and ensure student safety, you know, what it might look like for their program specifically. You know, running a basketball practice is going to be much different than running a swim workout. And each space, each facility is going to have different needs to ensure the student safety in this time of COVID. And so each program's looking a little bit different at this time, but each and every one is following those Department of Health guidelines. And, you know, I think there's some comfort in knowing from our community that our coaches are trying to do it right. You've seen a lot of youth organizations when, I think it was June 19th, we got some guidance from the Department of Health that recommended phasing in the competition, so those dates we talked about in late July, when we could start returning to competition. Well, a lot of youth organizations took that announcement and ran with it and jumped right into full bore tournaments and competition. And what we're seeing from those organizations is a lot more COVID cases popping up. So working through the school and following these guidelines, you know, with student safety in mind, I think the responsibility of our coaches and the school has been good here to try and limit that. We haven't had, at this point, knock on wood, this is a big concern, at this point, we haven't had any cases with 16 varsity programs operating here in Albert Lea to date. And, you know, there's been some concerns, and we're doing a good job screening kids. So if they've been exposed or traveled, we're going through the Department of Health. You know, there's 5 recommended questions we ask each kid as they enter. There's social distancing, you know, hand sanitizer, cleaning routines. Those types of things are now the new normal. And we've been eliminating a few kids that maybe have been exposed to scenarios we aren't comfortable with, asking those kids to stay home for that 14-day window, those types of things. But every program's case by case, and, again, everything looks different now, right? We're just operating in a different way. And, you know, my view is if we do it safely now and we take the precautions now, we have a better chance of returning in the fall. And so far in Albert Lea, again, knock on wood, so far so good.
Looking forward, what have you heard from families, players, coaches, everybody about what they're comfortable with and what they want to do as far as getting back to school and actually in classes and also back on the fields and courts and all of that?
Right. So, I mean, obviously we don't want to get political here. Everybody's got their own view on what they're comfortable with, and that's the beauty of what we're doing this summer is everything's optional to our kids and our families. But again, you know, from my shoulders, I felt the responsibility that we should be trying as a school district to provide some opportunities, even for our coaches. Their direction from me was that this is going to be optional this summer. And again, I'll support them any way they want to go with it. You know, everybody's in a different position. But we've had good turnout. So that should speak to that statement, I guess, of what people are wanting right now. We've had really strong numbers in each and every opportunity that we've provided this summer. We haven't had anything really fizzle out. We opened up a new strength and conditioning program at the high school in our new weight room this summer. And, you know, in the last couple of years, the numbers really dwindled. And we had 7 times the number of kids that signed up this year as we had last summer. And so we're really starting to see, you know, in the community of Albert Lea, a strong support for activities and I think a strong desire to get back to competing and participating in activities.
Now, the MSHSL can talk to you. Is there a way for, like, ADs like you or others around the state to be able to get in contact with someone who's making the decisions up there about just kind of, hey, this is what people here are feeling about the potential of coming back. This is what we've been doing. This is what we think works and doesn't work. Is there a two-way communication there?
Yeah, so the high school league's made some adjustments in their communication routes even since, you know, the winter season. We had a really disappointing end to our basketball season when the tournament was canceled the night of or the evening, afternoon of the section championship game we were supposed to go play over in Rochester, and it was last minute. And so we've seen, you know, I guess a step in the right direction. The high school league receiving input from local communities, activities directors. They've put some systems in place to gather inputs and receive information. So the meeting we talked about that I sat in yesterday was a high school league lead meeting. Basically, they take all activities directors around the state. They provide information. They provide us an outlet to ask questions. And then they also have subcommittees where ADs, there's a small panel, I think, of eight ADs. Maybe it's regionally, but they receive input from member schools. And they're trying to kind of use those people to help guide some of the difficult decisions they have to make here down the stretch. And as you know, there's probably no great exact, you know, script for this that they're going to be able to follow. They're going to have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, as a member school, we're going to have to accept what they decide. But I do feel they've been trying to receive input from communities a little bit more with this difficult time. And I think it's a smart route to make sure that they're looking at every piece of the puzzle before they try and put it together.
If everything else was the same and we were to fast forward a month, do you feel like we would be able to start practices today?
You know, it's a good question. You know, we've seen some communities where I'd say no. If it were Albert Lee, I'd say yes. With that said, would we have full participation? I don't know. We already talked about how some families have, you know, some health concerns, or they have a different view on this whole thing. And so it's totally up to each family, and we respect that completely. But if I were, I think I just yesterday I heard a story from the Edina activities director. They had an outbreak, if you will, of cases that shut down all of their summer programs. It impacted every team. And it stemmed from one gathering at a student's lake cabin where the virus spread, and then those students returned home and went to pool parties and grad parties and different things like that, and it got away from them. And so when the kids returned to all their activities and their sports programs in the same time frame, they weren't quite aware of it, but it was spreading. And so I think, you know, we need some common sense from our community and our families if we intend to be involved in activities and sports and, you know, our fine arts as we move into the fall. We got to make sure that we're at least, as coaches, being strong leaders and helping guide families and students and how to be cautious and safe and avoid the spread. Certainly using social distancing and other precautions where we can. And, you know, and again, it's all optional stuff here we're talking about. We're not going to try and force anybody to participate in any activity they're not comfortable with. And so, for example, our summer activities on the front end, we provide a whole preparedness plan out front. Ask those families to agree that they understand what they're getting into before they start, and they can read through the whole set of precautions and before they jump in. And so, again, it's all new, just kind of build out as we can. And I guess, long answer, getting back to the original question, I could see us starting in the fall here in Albert Lee. I don't know about other areas, regions, parts of the state. And we'll see what that looks like when we get direction from the governor's office and the high school league come end of July and early August here.
Has there been any discussion about what happens if something like what you mentioned happened in Edina happens in, say, the middle of a season, a few weeks in, there's a team that gets an outbreak? Is there any discussion about how much it would take to kind of shut down a program or a season or a school system even, or what it means for the future of, say, if you're scheduled to play a team that has had an outbreak in a few weeks? Or is it just kind of right now, we just got to focus on what's at hand and trying to get started?
Well, I'll tell you, right now the Department of Health guidance has been that if you have a case, you trace that back 2 days, anybody that's been in close contact with that person is going to get shut down. So if it were specific, and we're trying to be strategic about that, I can speak to that in a minute, but, you know, if they backtrack 2 days and the kid went to three different workouts in those 2 days and was in close proximity with, you know, a number of different pods in those activities, all those pods are going to get shut down. So there's some things that we can do within our programs to help better our odds in keeping things open. I think keeping smaller groups together rather than large group practices, limit the amount of close contact that we have, and even spacing our workouts out between a certain number of days. And realistically, when you get into a full season, that's not a great option, but it might be something we have to consider. So if they trace back 2 days, maybe if we space them 3 days apart, that sort of thing. There's a number of ideas and discussions, and that's just one avenue. But I think the bigger point is, if we're smart about how we go about our practices and phasing things back in, I think we're going to be better off in the long run with less shutdown. And so that's the hard part, is not everybody's going to play by those rules, and this is going to take a lot of strong leadership across the board, across the conference, across the state, for us to potentially have a season without interruption.
Yeah, that seems to be the hardest part, is figuring out how to, if something does happen, make it so it's not that one person giving it to another person and those two people giving it to two more people and it's spreading that way. Because the way that sports work, just the way that you travel every single week and go to different schools, it makes it really easy.
Right. And so to that point, Nate, we got kids that are in a number of activities, and we've been promoting for the last couple of years that we want multi-sport athletes. And it's a great thing, but in a case like with COVID here, we got kids that might be going to a swim workout, might be going to a basketball workout. They're doing the strength and conditioning. They might have an AAU event. And so how much more exposure are those kids going to have because they are so active? And so just trying to, you know, have a little bit more thought into where we've been and what we're doing and be strategic about how we do it is important. And a lot of that's going to fall back on families. And, you know, and our coaches are helping guide families and helping them make tougher decisions. But ultimately, it's going to come down to each kid and each family deciding what they want to get involved in, and might have to take a step back from time to time.
I don't know what the situation is as far as students going back to schools compared to maybe online learning again for a little bit in the fall. Maybe you can speak a little bit more to that too, but is there a situation where there are students on the field without there being students in the classrooms?
We don't know what that's going to look like. I can speak to Albert Lee's discussion, and I know there's more discussion to be had on this, but I do want our community to know that if their student is not really comfortable coming back into the in-school setting, I know our district's been discussing having an online, or excuse me, a distance learning component. So if the student isn't comfortable in the classroom yet, there will be that option for distance learning. And so what that looks like on the field is yet to be ironed out. I think we're going to get some guidance from the high school league for that, I hope. There's going to have to be some unity across the state. If things are decided regionally where one district is in distance learning mode and another district is in the classroom, we want to know how we're supposed to approach it, so that we're all doing similar things. And I mentioned how the high school league has been doing a better job with that communication piece. I think we're going to have an opportunity to kind of, as activities directors across the state, talk about and compare and look at what each of us are doing. And certainly as a Big Nine conference, we meet weekly over Zoom. That's going to be a pretty hot topic for us as we get closer to what school's going to look like. So a real important window is going to be July 27th to August 4th. There's going to be a lot of buzz after that governor's announcement and before the high school league board meeting. And that task force is going to be looking at how we're going to approach this season after July 27th, before August 4th, that board meeting. And those scenarios are all going to be discussed. The high school league board yesterday told us there's not going to be one stone unturned. They're going to make sure they're looking at all options, what this looks like for every member school before we move forward.
Paul Durbin with us on KATE Radio. I did want to just get a quick clarification on that. So are these two things connected, the school side of things and the athletic side of things, or is there a scenario where we could see students learning from home but being able to tackle and all that on the fields and play tennis or whatever it is?
Well, one of the core principles of the high school league, Nate, is that it's an extension of your classroom, right? And or education-based activities. And so I'd say with full certainty that we want to know what school's going to look like in the state of Minnesota before the high school league's going to make any type of decision about activities. They've established a few core principles to help guide us, and that's one of them. We want to make sure that we're not compromising the education of the students. And so it's tough to say that if we're in a distance learning, I think the odds are less likely that we'll be competing in the fall if we're in a full distance model. I think that's logical and common sense. But if there's a scenario where they can do it safely and still support education, I think we're going to discuss it and consider it. But a lot of that, it's going to be up to the powers that be, and hopefully they, we find a way to get kids active. And I know we're kind of running on close to the end of our time here, but one other thought there is that, having opportunities and activities for students, there's a lot of studies right now showing how much it impacts students' mental health. and the well-being of our students. And so I think one came out of the University of Wisconsin recently showing extremely heightened amounts of anxiety and depression coming from students after they haven't had their athletic and their fine arts, their co-curriculars. It just shows the importance of it. And that's going to be another thing for people to weigh out is the, you know, the mental health side of things. How important is that compared to the COVID and the safety of our students on the other front? And so, you know, a lot of really challenging, tough decisions to be made moving forward. And hopefully, you know, we'll see kids back in the classroom, kids on the field soon and safely.
All right, Paul, well, before we let you go, we'll get to something a little bit more fun. You mentioned that new strength and conditioning program in the new weight room. How is everything looking over there at the new Hammer Complex with everything that you've got done and have been able to get done since we last saw it? Well, I guess as far as Kate radio terms goes, in the fall with the football season.
Well, I tell you what, things are really coming together. We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's been a long project. Our weight room is very near completion. We're in full use, but we're waiting on a few items yet to come in. To kind of wrap it up. But we've got five new full squat racks in that weight room, all new plates, bars, dumbbells. I mean, it's a brand new, you know, we just complete overhaul of that weight room. Really exciting to see. All the ball fields are starting to get finished up. All the fences are in. They were seeding and hooking up irrigation this last week. You know, they're starting to do some of the finish work inside the stadium with some fencing and other landscaping work, and you know, I can't get to the whole list, but it's really starting to clean up. And you know, we're as a school district employee, I'm very thankful for the community that we live in and the support we get from our community and the support for education in Albert Lea. I can't speak high enough or express how happy I am with this facility and how great it is for our students. And another piece is this: I hope our community can enjoy it. It's one thing we don't know about this fall, whether we'll be in the stands or not, but soon enough, people will be here enjoying that space. And, you know, I think it's a really good thing for Albert Lea. And every time I walk through these facilities, I'm proud as punch. So.
All right, well, that's Paul Durbon of Albert Lea Activities and Athletics here on KATE. There's nothing going on right now, but that doesn't mean he's just got his feet kicked up. He's still a busy guy, and we thank you for taking a little bit of time to talk to us here on KATE. Update everybody on what's going on. And as we mentioned numerous times throughout, hopefully we can get back to sports and something resembling what we had before in normalcy in the fall.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Nate.